Yeah, and chicken sandwiches too. I mean, how it doesn't get much better after this, right? So I wish I could see your faces better, but I think I'm doing pretty good. I like just looking at your eyes and your face, but we like this light though. Any more light than this is probably going to hurt us, right? Plus my head glares. What? Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. This is an incredible book, not necessarily this Bible, but the Bible in general. It always amazed me when I first started to look at this. I didn't even read it until I was, almost 27, 28 years old. It just didn't mean anything. What I found incredible was this was full of young men and young women who not only changed their own lives and the destiny of their own families, but they also changed the destiny of their communities, of their generation. I was amazed. As young as 8 years old, it's phenomenal to me. This really is our people. Even though I love America, I love the lands that we've come from. My mother's from Italy, my dad's from Canada, and I appreciate all those different lands. But in truth, the day that you and I got born again, the day that we accepted this one we sang about Jesus into our hearts, this became our history. And so I want to tonight, if you don't mind, take us to a story you know. And sometimes when we read the Bible, it's them over there, and it's kind of in these white, black letters on white paper, and it doesn't always become real to us. And so I love, if you don't mind, just bringing us to the story. I want to feel the emotions of it, what's happening, sense what they're going through, that you and I can relate to our day and our time. That was their generation. This is ours. That was their time. This is ours. But that was written, and these stories were told, and these young men and young women lived it out so that you and I could have the courage, the strength, and the belief that if God did something with them, he would definitely do something with us. So if you don't mind, I just want you to sit back, and you'll know the story as I begin it. But I just want, again, I want us to really just live the moment out and feel the experience of this young man that we'll see. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, you know, the incredible honor and privilege for me to be here. I love this generation of young people. I'm stoked about them, but there's no one more stoked about them than you. You're dreaming. You're believing. You're the one that is passionate about this generation. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Doesn't matter what the world thinks, the news thinks, media thinks. Has nothing to do with anything. What is the biggest thing is your thoughts, your heart, your passion. It's large for this young people. So tonight I pray for the revelation of the kingdom of God be to all of us, to me as well, that we see what you just might do if we believe. There are no limitations to us. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the 12th year of King Saul's reign. He will be king for 42 years. Every year of the 42 years, he'll have war with the Philistines. They'll gather this day in a valley called Elah. It was probably almost close to a mile wide. I've seen it. Much of it's been eroded. On the southern side gathered the Philistines. This army, it was vast. They were like the are closer to Spartans. They were raised for war from a child. At one time, before Jonathan fought with them, they had 6,000 horsemen. The Bible tells that their footmen, you could not number them. They were like the numbers of the sand of the sea. It was an immense army. They feared no one. They gathered this day at the Valley of Elah, as they always would in the early morning. On the south side of this valley was the Israeli army. At one time, the most feared people on the face of the earth. Even when the Lord delivered them out of Egypt, the kings and the mighty men of Jericho just heard about what their God did, and their hearts melted, and they were so afraid. This was at once a people that the world feared. It was the elite of the army. You have to know that the Israeli army in this day, they were divided up into their tribes, and each tribe would have a banner representing the tribe, and all 11 of them, the Levite tribe, never came to war. They were there at the back at the temple. But they would gather, and what they would do is they would take their swords and hit them on their spears like this. And the Bible calls it setting the battle in array. And then they would shout the name of their God. They began this morning the same way. They moved up to the very edge of the southern side of this valley. And they began, the elite of them, they were once at 3,000 men, handpicked by King Saul. And they began to hit their shields and shout. I mean, the ringing of it went through the valley. It would send fear to most enemies, but the Philistines did not fear any army. They feared no kings. All of a sudden, the Philistine army separated. And the loud shouting began to silence as they looked and they saw a man bigger than any man they've ever seen. He came from behind them. There was talk that there was a champion from Goliath, from Gath named Goliath, but no one ever saw him. They actually thought it was a fiction. They thought for sure it was a story made up by the Philistines. But here he was at this early morning. He is 10 and a half feet tall. The Bible describes him very closely. As he began to get closer to the edge, the army of Israel, the people representing the living God, they began to slowly stop and back off, literally shaking just at the sight of this man. They put their swords and their shields down by their side and began, some of them even began to run and hide. I want you to see him. His helmet was solid brass and that early morning sun was glistening off it. He wore a shirt. It was called a coat of mail. It was brass woven into silk. His shirt weighed 196 pounds. The dude was diesel, man. He had leather greaves on his legs. They were brass woven into leather. You see, this particular shirt and these particular pants, even if a spear hit it, it would turn it off like this, or an arrow. You couldn't penetrate him in his body. He had behind him a sword that stood 5 feet over his head. It was immense that he would use to fight. He was holding a spear in his hand, the length of a weaver's beam. Probably it's anywhere from 18 to 20 feet long. On the end of it, his spearhead was made of iron. It weighed 24 pounds. This is what the man threw, something that large. Before him was he would have an armor bearer that was a little smaller than him. He walked down into that valley and made his way over. The whole way he was cursing their God, cursing their king, cursing their army in their own language. They were hiding. I mean, these are the people of God. These are the ones that had a history of God separating seas. This is a history of a God who delivered them without a sword or spear. And here they are because the size of this man and who he is, they're literally hiding behind bushes, behind caves. They even had dugout graves that they were in. 40 days and 40 nights, he would come and assault their God by name. Every morning and every evening, and assault them and say to them, "But let one man come and fight me. Is there anyone that will fight me?" The Philistines, I'm sure, were up there laughing and giggling at this fearful elite of God's army. Well, about 10 miles away, a little south, was a little town called Bethlehem. There was a man living there. His name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. 3 of his sons were here, Eliab, Shammah, and Abinadab. 3 of his oldest sons were in this army. They too were hiding. He had a younger son, David. Man, he just loved his music. Yeah, he just picked up Lecrae's latest. Yeah, he was kicking it with a little skillet, and he had some POD mixing in there. He was just like, oh, yeah, absolutely. He loved it. Man, he would have loved this. He would have loved this worship group. He would have loved that drummer. Absolutely. The drummer was nasty. 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 David! This kid. David! He was out there watching his father's sheep. David, he finally heard him. He came down and he goes, yo, what up, Dad? Don't what up me. Don't talk to your friends like that. Don't talk to me like that. I told you, call me Dad. All right, Dad, Daddy, yo, Dad, I'm sorry. What's up? I want you to go down and see how your brothers are doing. I mean, this was David's dream. David was like, what, really? I can go down and see the battle? Oh, man. Dad, I can't wait to see it. I mean, it's my dream. One day I'm going to be in that army. I mean, I can't wait to see them. I mean, those Philistines don't have a chance. So what do you want me to do, Dad? Here, he brought some. He had 10 cheeses and 10 breads and an ephod of corn. Bring them down and give it to the captain of the thousands and let him see it. So David, early in the morning, left his sheep with another keeper, another young man that was with him, and he with his cart. He couldn't wait to get there. Man, as he got there, they were just starting to set the battle in array, and David was just kind of looking, going, man, look at this. Wow. He goes, wow, there's my family down there, Judah. These are my brothers. Okay, I got that. Man, look at this. This is amazing. I can't wait to see this. Those Philistines aren't going to have a chance in this battle. Look at them, man. One day I'm going to be here. One day I'm going to be able to be in this army. I can't wait. I can't wait. And it started. They started to hit their shields again. And David began to back up. And all of a sudden, David looked, and their faces began to change. He was hearing something in the valley. He looked down, and he saw Goliath. He was hearing what he was saying. He was hearing him curse his God. And David couldn't believe it. He goes, he stopped and he says, where are you going? And they began to drift back. They began, he could see the fear in their faces. And he would say, what are you doing? Where are you going? Do you hear what that Philistine is saying about our God? I mean, his brother comes out. I want you to see this because you're going to face it. His older brother, Eliab, comes out and grabs him. And he says, what are you doing here? And David's looking. He goes, go back to those little sheep in the wilderness. I know that your pride, your heart and your pride. David was like this. What? See, I want you to know something that's going on very special in your lives. I would have said to him, get out of my face. But David had this purity toward his older brother and the older generation. And I want you to know the Lord is working into your generation. Where there's not an attitude. I lived most of my life mad at my parents, mad at the people that are older. Even when I got born again and I started to grow a little bit, I was thinking, you know what? Our world's in trouble because of our forefathers and because of things that the older generation wanted. And the Lord had to deal with me. But with you, he's already building this pure heart, the heart to understand that there's respect for the older folks, respect for the generations. And it's not about them anyways. It's about us. It's about you. David was looking at it because I don't know what you're talking about. So he kept asking, and he couldn't believe it. He looked down at that Philistine, and he couldn't believe that he was cursing his God. David couldn't believe what he was saying. David's 15 years old. 15. He's no taller at this particular culture, maybe 4'11", maybe 5 feet tall. King Saul hears about it, and he asks Abner, his general. He goes, well, what's going on out there? He goes, there's this kid's out there talking. What's he saying? He's saying, why didn't somebody fight the Philistines? He's a kid. Bring him over here. So they came into King Saul's tent. And the king was sitting there. And he says, who are you? He says, I'm David of Jesse. I'm David, the son of Jesse. He says, what are you doing here? He goes, I came to see the battle. My brothers are here. He goes, listen, king, I want you to know something. Don't be afraid. I'm going to kill that Philistine. The king looked at him and said, you've been out in the sun too long, son. You sure you're okay? He didn't really say that, but I like it. He said to him, son, listen, you don't understand. That man is the champion. He has been fighting since his youth. Goliath is probably 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there. He is their champion. He's their greatest fighter. And David says this, I want to tell you something. So nobody knows this, right? He's about to say, see, you know, I got this Lecrae CD. Rap, you know, on my MP3. Well, wait a minute. You'll get it. All right, so I was kind of just like, you know, I was just kind of hanging out, and well, I got kind of caught up in it, and I heard a noise, and I looked up, and there was a bear taking one of my father's sheep. And the king said, a bear. I said, yeah. I want you to know, king, I chased that bear down. He turned on me. I slew him. And then one time I was tired, and because I was up a little late, you know, and I so loved the night times and just chilling with the Lord. I said, but I heard a noise again. It woke me up. It was a lion. Yeah, a she-lion. And man, she was nasty. And so I looked up, and she had one of my father's lambs. And so I chased her down. She turned on me. The Lord delivered me from the bear. The Lord delivered me from the lion. The Lord delivered me from this Philistine. I want to say something to you out of this story this morning. I want you to know that David's father could not even see this going on in his life. All the while, nobody noticed it, but God was raising him up by his everyday experiences please, I want you to know, don't even look at this COVID stuff that we went through and all this other stuff that's going on in our world. The Lord is working in your lives every single day to cause you and I to become everything we need to be. No one knew this. No one is in your school life, in your home life. He's preparing you. It's all preparation. He had no idea. Nobody knew. Nobody saw. And in many ways, no one really sees what's going on. I want you to trust the Lord in this way. Trust what I'm saying to you. God is doing something in every one of your lives, my life as well, every single day to prepare you and I for everything he intends us to be, to see a generation change. It's happening. It was right here with David. Even his father couldn't see it. His father thought he was just David and kind of just an odd boy. Oh, he was more than that, just like you. So David, Saul says, okay, well, try in my armor. And David gets the armor and it's all too big and the helmet's too big. And he goes, this isn't going to work. I've got a set of weapons. I'm going to talk about them at the end. Because he had some physical things, but they're going to be spiritual for you and I, especially for you. So David went and there's a little brook in the Valley of Elah. I have the same stones. A friend brought me from that brook, another pastor friend of mine. They're about that big, each of them. There's five of them. They're super smooth because the water's been just going over them. And David took five stones and he put them in a little script, it's called. It's a little bag that the shepherds have, and it's hidden here. You can't really see it. And he took his sling. It's not this kind of a sling. It's going to be one that goes like this. That's going to be very important to us. That's this kind of sling he did. And he came out to the edge of that valley. I just want you to see this. On the other side, Goliath is standing there looking. Our Bible tells us that he's gotten angry. They're laughing. He's looking over and going, is this a kid? In his own Philistine eyes. I mean, is that a kid? They all look, it's a kid. I mean, look at it. They got a punky kid. It made him angry that they would even think of doing something like this. Like he was some idiot, some fool. It made him mad. He began to walk down and he began to curse David. And he said to him, You boy, I'm going to kill you today, and I'm going to feed your body to the carcasses of the air, your carcass of the air, the birds of the air, and to the beasts of the land. And he kept walking in. David, I mean, I love this kid. I mean, 15 years old. The man is 10 and a half feet tall. David gets to the edge of the valley. Behind him are his brothers, an army, hiding. Fearful, intimidated. And this teenager, man, I love teenagers. Love them. This teenager stands there and he comes to the edge of the valley and looks at Goliath. He says, this day I will take your head off and I'll give your body, your carcass, to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the sea. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to do it. Because the whole earth, please hear this, that's why you are so necessary. Why is this going to happen, Goliath? That the whole earth will know there is a God in Israel. And that this company, this army, they'll know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. The battle is the Lord's. What a word. David doesn't just glide down, he runs into the valley. You know the story. The pictures don't really show it. 10 and a half feet tall, 5 feet maybe. And David puts a stone in there. Everybody's watching. The Philistines are still giggling over this. Watch this. Watch how fast this is going to go. The army of Israel, they're just hiding. Saul hasn't even come out of his tent, nor his general. And David begins. And he lets that rock go. You know the story. It hits Goliath right in the forehead. Sinks in. He falls down. David runs, takes his sword. His sword had to be, it's usually at least half that size. His sword had to be 5-6 feet, as big as David. And he swung that around. And he cut the head off of Goliath. And he picked it up like this. Now, so for me, this is, I know it's a teenager, but for me, I love this story. Tell it like this. I'm sure if you don't mind, he probably did this. I'm sorry, what were you saying? What was he saying? I'm sorry, what was he saying? By the way, the Philistine stopped and began to run the other way. A teenager has changed history. A teenager. The teenager just rocked the world. Teenager. Nobody special. Just a young man born in Bethlehem whose father couldn't even see anything going on there. His brothers thought he was a fool. But he wasn't. I'm sorry, you said something? I'm sure I would have picked him up by his nose too. Hey. And did this. Go back and pick it up again. Grab it. Yeah, I'm sorry, you were saying something about giving my body to some... I'm sorry, it was something about... I'm sorry, you were saying... can you talk? His head probably was about this big. Probably looked like a chair. Like this. How about you did that? It was a great victory for Israel that day. This army would never be afraid again. It's his weapons I want to finish with. Then I just want to get a little more personal with you. Five things about David I want you to have and I want you to know. Because the Lord is working these things into your lives. I want it worked into my life, but he's absolutely working it in yours. First, David was the eighth son of Jesse. The number eight is really a beautiful number. It's a number of a new beginning, a new start. Everything that was is finished. It's over. It's brand new. And so David begins something fresh. The Lord is doing something with your lives that's absolutely fresh, absolutely new. Don't be moved by this out here, what's going on here. Don't let this fray you. Don't let this bother you. We're living in a real world just like you and I. I'm not ignoring it. But I want you to know the Lord is doing something absolutely fresh in your generation. Absolutely brand new. Man, what a time to be a teenager. That's why I said, don't worry about what's being said out there. Don't be afraid of that. Don't fear. Don't be like them. I don't care what Goliath says. It doesn't matter what anything anybody's saying. It's a new beginning, a new start. Fresh, new. We know David's life story. The second thing about David was he had a shepherd's staff. He brought it with him. It's what he had. And I like this. It's the shepherd's heart he has. Even Jesus in the revelation, in his resurrection and ascension, he will say, I am of the root of David. There's something about David that even Jesus reaches back to him and says, everything about me is that young man was the beginning of many things. And it's the shepherd's heart that the Lord is so working in all of you. We may never pastor. I don't do it anymore, though. I never thought I would do that. But it's not so much being a pastor like Pastor Sean or anything like that. But the shepherd's heart is a caring heart. Cares for people. It doesn't matter if they're rich, poor, black or white, Asian. It doesn't matter which country they're from. It doesn't matter persuasion. There's this care for people. I mean, I mean, it's weird because I grew up not liking people at all. My family is extremely judgmental. Now I just cannot help. No matter where I am, at Starbucks here, today I was in Kroger's. I just can't help but stop and say to somebody, yo, how you doing? In the gym today? Looking good. How are you? Good to see you. I mean, it's just because he loves people and he's raising a generation, you, that has a heart for people. It's a shepherd's heart. He cares. That's why David could have let one of those lambs get killed. I mean, he's going to risk his life for a sheep? Oh, yeah. That's a shepherd. That's a shepherd. Third, which I love, he had five smooth stones. The number five is another beautiful number. It's a number for the grace of God. But I want to just encourage you a little about the grace of God. It does have a dual meaning. It's unmerited favors. God gives us his grace. Can't buy it. But here's what it does. It's influence upon our heart. And it reflects in our life. And the grace of God is what changes us. It's not hardship, pain, difficulty. That's life stuff. Everybody has. But it's the grace of God that comes in our lives that it changes us, grows in us. David had it. It's what made him unusual. His brother is hiding, angry, frustrated, and calls David a punk, a prideful, naughty heart. And David's like, what are you talking about? That's the grace right there. Was this little script, it's called. It's a little bag that the shepherds have. Now, you know, I grew up in a generation that my generation flaunts what God did. I'm Dr. This, I'm Dr. This. This is my house. I got 17 cars. Yeah, I got 50 miles. I'm great. This is my, you know, just bragging about themselves. David hid the grace of God. Couldn't find it. He was hidden. So he didn't flaunt it, didn't say, yeah, I killed this one, I killed it. He could have said to his brother, oh yeah, you don't know, I'm writing three books. One, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, and I killed that fat-headed Philistine. Yeah, I'm going to be a great author. No. See, what the Lord's doing with your life, it's not going to be about you, even though it is about you. It's going to be about him. And if the Lord's doing anything in my generation, and I'm probably old enough, I'm sure I'm old enough to be your grandfather, easy. But for most of you, easy. Your parents would be my kids' age. My generation grew up with such an attitude of pride. Already the Lord's working in you with grace that is amazing. It's going to make you strong like it did young David. The final thing is the sling. I just want to say this to you, and you're going to learn it over time, but I want you to have it anyway. Again, our slings go like this, but this sling is like this. So it's from this one point, it goes around like this. I want you to know that our God is the center of everything. He didn't create our last year or the stuff that goes on in our world, but he'll use it for our good always. Everything revolves around him. He's doing more than anyone knows. He's the central person. He's the Bible calls it preeminent. He's the first place one. It's Jesus, and he's at the center of it all. And so, see, I'm learning that everything revolves around him. If I keep him center, everything changes. If I keep him right there first, everything changes. I don't have to be afraid of I don't have to be fearful of anything like this army. We could take the position of young David, I don't care how big it looks. I don't care how impossible it looks. I don't care how great he says he is. I don't care how threatening he is. Doesn't mean a thing. Why is God doing this in your generation? I want you to know why. Because the world must know again that there is a God amongst the people. Our great God amongst us in power and in might and demonstration. And he doesn't deliver by fighting and sword and spear. Oh, no. The battle is his. Stand with me for a moment. I believe in you. So you don't know me well enough. I don't ever come to just talk and tell a story and be a Bible teacher. I've never been interested in that. I'm interested in you. Loving you. Encouraging you out of this. I believe you're set to be history makers. I believe you're set to be world changers. Each one of you. Some maybe in education. Some in manual labor. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to him if you're the president or you pick up my garbage. Doesn't matter to him. He's just looking for a man or woman who just believe him. The status for God means nothing. Yeah, that's not. I'm to honor all men, not just the president. My garbage man gets as much honor as anyone else would. The guy who picks up my garbage, I love him. He's back. But it's you. What do you believe? Can you believe that you and I were born at a time it may be more difficult? But don't listen to people who say, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. No, just go, yeah, whatever. We're going to be everything we need to be. I believe that about you. But I want you to believe. No matter what anyone thinks, dad or mom, or your brothers, just like Jesse, just like David, doesn't matter. Who knows what God is doing with you? I do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this amazing group of young people. Heroes. Destined to change the world. Destined. Through their lives, through their voice, through their years. Lord, I pray that your grace be great upon them. And that not only this story, but the other stories in the Bible. Young Jonathan and his armor bearer, Esther. That these become life stories, man. These are people that live their day. If they could do it, we could do it. I believe it. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about you giving the Lord a hand because we love his Bible? All right, great. Sit. Let me just spend a few moments with you. Are we recording? Yeah, okay, good. So if you don't mind, if I come over to where you are, just draw your mask down just so I can see your face, okay? Do you mind? I'll get far enough away. Yeah, just so I can see you. Yeah, beautiful. So, young lady, you know, love everything about your heart and your spirit. It's tremendous. And really, there's a dual grace the Lord is working within your life. There's, and I love the note taking, everything, and I love the sound, you know, all of it's good. But you're going to have a place in the world in, as a professional there. The Lord is going to really make room for you. So if you want to work in medicine, medical, nursing, you're going to be fantastic with that because you've got a very tender heart toward people, very loving heart toward people, very caring. And your love for the thing about David I love is he was as cranked up, as amped up about God as he was about what God could do. And you had that same thing within your heart. David had no idea he'd be king. He'd be just satisfied just to be a shepherd. Nobody knew. No one really knew. He would be anointed by the king, by the prophet, but he didn't really have any idea. And so it's early in your life. But the Lord is going to make his word a prominent part of your life, a loving of your word, a desiring of your word. And so you'll be involved in the church. You'll teach. You'll speak his word. And I'm very careful what I'm saying to you because your parents have to make that decision with you. Your leaders have to do that with you. Your family, that's the key thing. But he's definitely going to cause you to be a woman who grows up in the church, is a part of the church. It declares, even if you go away to college, you come back and you'll be a part of it. Even at college when you go, you'll be a part of it over there. You're just going to carry the gospel with you. It's just how you are. It's how the Lord is raising you up. But also there's got to be a professional life. You've got to go to college and be educated because they'll know you by the degree. They'll know you as this particular woman. So if you want to be in medicine or you want to be in business, if you want to be a doctor, you have all that potential to be involved in any one of those particular things. But either way, whatever you decide to do, those are some of the possibilities that will be open to you just because of how smart you are and how your heart is. These will be realities for you. But the Lord will be in it. The Lord, you encourage your parents. The Lord will cover the money. He'll pay for it. He'll be with you. But you're going to have a sense of it. Even now, you do a real discipline. So sometimes you're going to, your father leans on you, lectures sometimes, and the parental gets a little tight. Don't look at it as like that. It's because God is wanting to make you a very accurate woman. If you shoot an arrow or you shoot something like this and the feathers aren't right, the arrow's going to go like this. Or if it's bent. And so many times the Lord, there's a shaping process that's greater in some people's lives. You know, it's just the pressure's there. But sometimes it feels like, you know, get away from me, leave me alone. But it's not. It's always for a purpose. By the way, gold and diamonds have to have pressure to produce what they are. They live in pressure. Otherwise, you don't have a diamond, you don't have gold. Listen, young lady, those are the two things the Lord wants to work with in your life. Beautiful. We all right? We good? So about 10 after is okay, boss? Okay. So, you know, loved you up here. Thought it was beautiful, excellent, really. To stand in front of everybody is brutal. Yeah, I know, especially your peers. It's like when I'm with adults all the time, and the adults are like this. And I'm thinking, oh my God, smile. Are you Christians? Yeah, why? I was just wondering. Get some Lecrae, that'll help you. you know, you're really incredibly intelligent, young lady, and the Lord is really, I mean, the your understanding, the way you grasp things is, you know, it's just off the charts. And so really, it's different than her, but you're going to have an opportunity for either law or medicine. Love you in law just because of, not that you're argumentative, but when you hold something, though, debating, you know, that kind of thing. If you're going to be in law and you're going to be a lawyer, you have to be able to do that within that. But you like order. And even when you learn and, nobody's room is clean and everybody's got a messy room, but your life is ordered. When you understand things, the way your mind works, they're very orderly. I like that. And you have to be able to have that level of intelligence, that level of grace of God, that level of commitment to facts like that. You have it already, even at your young age. And so what the Lord's going to do, though, these years that you're here and these coming years, he's already been doing it, though, is increasing his grace within your life, though, because the Lord wants you to carry the gospel in a different way there. A lot of times what happens is, so I still, you know, I'm involved with a lot of people. A lot of people don't know what I do, and I don't tell them. I just want them to meet me, and they ask me what I do. They find me or something, and you do that. But I don't want them to know. I want them to see something in this life that marks me as being him. And that's exactly what the Lord's doing within your life. And so you're going to have the sense of God draws you that there's going to be a greater commitment to the little reading of the word, because he's going to take the Bible and mesh it into law and into understanding governments and how they work. And you're going to be, Daniel becomes a man who's in, who's ranked in the, within the government of Babylon because of his spirituality. But nobody, he doesn't know he's a prophet. He's just a young man who believes God. But the way he speaks, and already men of great authority like him, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. And so the Lord has no problem making you influential. I mean, if you start to get prideful and boast and say, all these guys, well, I can't talk to you anymore because I'm going to be somebody, well, then we might have to have a talk. I don't think you'll do that, though. But you have to be strong to be in that environment. And not everybody can. I don't want to get in and start debating with them. You will, and you can. So listen, education is going to be critical. Doesn't mean you have to be at the top of your class, but it has to be very close. That is how they will find you through your education. They'll be looking and saying, look at this young lady. Look at the awards. Look at everything. Wow, we want to meet her. But then when they meet you, they're going to think, wow, she's more than what's written on this paper. So that's why the character and the development of you within the kingdom of God, through his word, and you're going to sense a sense of prayer, a sense of time, not just singing the songs like you're doing, but time in your own life just to worship. This is such a great, don't do me, don't do adults, you don't have to just do you. He's fine. He didn't ask David to be his father. He liked David being David. He likes you being. Do you want to drop him over here, or rather you want to keep him on? Can I just look? Do you mind? Just, you don't mind? I'll stay way back here. Plus, I have a mint, so everything's okay. I got to have a mint. How about you? Do you mind? I just want to look. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I know. You want to make sure. Sometimes I get a buildup under my mask. You take it off, there's all kinds of like fabric around my mouth. And it's going, what's all that around your mouth? I go, what? And it's all fabric. I'm walking in the store going, hey, how you doing? You fabric mouth? You have no hair on your head, but you got fabric in your face. Anyway, yeah. No, I appreciate that. To you over here, I'm just encouraging you, okay? Not everybody likes challenges to step up, move forward. And you're that way. You're more comfortable just in your comfortable place. You know, you just prefer that. And to be asked to do something or move forward is a little bit, you know, just a lot for you. Some people just, they love that. First thing, yeah, it's me. You know, I was the kind of person like, don't even call me. You know, that's how I would be. And but I want you to know, young lady, that the Lord is really building within you a heart of Ruth. It's a young woman in our Bible. It's amazing. Her care for her mother-in-law, she's relentless at the care. Just in her heart, the commitment to a relationship is great. That's how the Lord is building you. A young lady who has friends, is loyal to friends, is loyal to what she's supposed to do. And the Lord is going to begin shifting some things in your personal life. You begin asking him. You know, sometimes I saw this, people see me and they go, well, I mean, Jay, you seem pretty courageous, you know. Yeah. But in reality, sometimes I just need courage. So does I need courage just to stand, courage to do work, courage just to walk outside, courage to face life. And the Lord's really coming to build a strength within you, a fearlessness that you can walk in this world, walk through education, face things that sometimes some of us fear before we even get there, so that you'll be able to walk free. And young lady, there's going to come a faith in your life to believe God. You're going to see some changes come into your home. You're going to see some changes come into relationships. You're just going to see the Lord. Sometimes the Lord, you know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were leaving they were released from Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea. The Red Sea, and it was too big to cross, and they were nervous. And all of a sudden, behind them comes 600 of chariots of Pharaoh. And they were stuck between these chariots and the water. And the Lord, the first time in the history, sent a fiery cloud down. But those men, they went to bed that night fearful about what was going to happen the next day. How are we going to get out of this? But they didn't know, though. All night long, the Lord had an east wind blowing the Red Sea open. That's your God. That's the God. Wherever you go, no matter what you face, he will be before you. And he'll make sure if he has to make a way for you, he'll do it. And you'll be able to trust him there. Because the Lord really wants to enlarge your life and make your life more full than you could ever believe. I'm old, so I don't have readers on. I can't read my watch. All right, good thing. Let's see how you look up there. Oh, yeah, 8:12. Getting close. All right. Okay. How are we doing over here? Good? Yeah, okay. My young friend, I like you. Well, I like everybody here. But that doesn't make you special. But I do like you. You know, you're really great with your hands. You know, you love the outdoors, four wheeling, all that. You're way more guy than me. I'm proud of you. You are. Yeah, I don't like any of that. I don't even like dirt on my fingernails. You know, I'm a bit of a baby when it comes to grease and mud, and you love that stuff. Kill something and rip its skin off. Yeah, yes. I'd rather go to the store and rip the package open. Yeah. Yeah, I prefer that, yeah. But you really, you're that way, and I love that about you. You really, the men in your life, you both your grandfathers that were like that very much, you know, those kind of men. And but the Lord really is apprehending you to be his young stallion, to be a young man that the Lord will use for the kingdom of God. And he has no problem giving you a profession. Your own business. You're entrepreneuring, you have it within your family. And so the Lord, you do what you want, get your education, get it in the tech school, do what you want to do, do what you like to do, the Lord will be in it. I mean, with obedience to your parents and following them, of course, as always, there's submission to our parents. My parents are still alive, and so I still have to listen to my father tell me to take out the garbage sometimes. And I still forget, I don't know why that is. I don't like taking out the garbage. Anyways, that has nothing to do with you. But he'll eventually build a business for you. And in that business, you're going to have young men run work for you. This is your later 20s, that early, into your 30s. And you will bring more young men to the kingdom of God than most people will ever see in their life, believe it or not. Because the Lord is really going to begin, you're going to watch him draw near and begin to cause you to see him, begin to cause you to know him. Begin to wonder what is the call of God. You are very much like this young David. You're smaller than me, but I'm a little afraid of you because I think if we went outside, you might beat me up. You know, maybe. Yeah, I mean, but you're just not. You're just a courageous young guy. I love that about you. You're not afraid to take risks. You're not afraid to do something you've never done before. We always have to be careful of that. That can be dangerous. But this young man never fought a giant before. That young man never faced a bear before, never faced a lion before. That young man didn't have anybody who believed in him, not his brothers, not his father. But he still believed his God. That's exactly what the Lord's going to bring you to. I know, so it's a little strange not to even think that you would actually be that kind of guy. But the Lord's already begun it, my friend. Even now, tonight, the grace of God is coming on you in a way you've not known it before. He's going to cause you to have a fresh look at him. And maybe, just maybe, this is more real than I realized. And maybe this isn't a group gathering together. Maybe this isn't about some God over there that I don't really know and not even really sure about. Oh, no, no, no. It's much more than that. You may not be sure of him, but he's absolutely sure of you. Stand with me, please. Andrew, thank you again. Come on up here, my brother. So I just want to finish it with this. You know, those weapons, the Lord is already working into your lives. It's beautiful. It's obvious. I'm with teenagers every week, pretty much, and a couple times a year for an entire week. So I love being around you. So it's not difficult for me or hard for me to see it. It's going on. It's there. It really is. But I want to say it again, though. I believe your generation is set to change and alter our world. I believe that. Through medicine, through law, through government, mostly through your lives living it out like this young man. Believe in that. You know what? The world's going to know that our God is our God. But what do you do? I want you to believe. Father, I thank you for this incredible honor for me and privilege to be here to share a really cool story with some great young people. I'm honored, I want to say privileged, that they would be here tonight to allow me to be a part of their lives. Lord, I pray your grace be upon them greatly. Reveal yourself to them. Let them behold you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on. So we have one more thing. We're not going to do small groups tonight, and I don't think we're going to be able to do soaking worship tonight either, because we have one more little thing that we're going to do before we before I forget, honestly, truthfully, can you kind of explain what it is?
So, hi, if you don't know me, my name's Lydia. So May is National Foster Care and Adoption Awareness Month. And, if y'all don't know, you know, pastors Hannah and Brandon Baldwin, they launched a church that I'm a